protect him, Father. God, that you would help him. You would have mercy. God, I don't know his status now, but I pray your hand would be upon him and that you would strengthen him. And God, I pray that in this season that he would lift up his eyes to the hills from whence cometh his hope. His hope that he would look up heavenward and cry out to the living God. Father, that you would cause his heart to cry out to Jesus in this hour. We pray for his wife as well, that you would touch that awful respiratory distress and the coughing. Father, I pray that both of them, Lord, would be strengthened in their body, but strengthened in their spirit to look up heavenward, and that the Holy Spirit would be at work in their hearts to draw them to you. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. This week we have our regular weekly offerings. We have men's Bible study will happen this week at 6 p.m. If you're a man and you're not part of Bible study, I just want to cause you some jealousy. You are missing out. you are missing out on something. Ladies, sorry, but... We are consistently seeing the hand of God in those meetings. The meetings continue to grow. We're drawing people from churches all over the region. Guys are driving up from Pennsylvania, and they come and they keep coming, and it's just a tremendous move of God. So we invite you, don't miss out. Don't miss out. And if you wonder, well, what do I have to do? What's men's Bible? There's a lot of guys there. There's lots of room to hide. If you want to come and be a fly on the wall, you know, nobody's going to make you get up and read or do anything. It's just a great time of fellowship and sharing God's word together. It's just really special. So we invite all men to come. Wednesday night prayer meeting at 7 o'clock. You want to know what fuels the church? It's prayer. You want to know what moves the hand of God? It's prayer. You want to know what has brought every revival and has accompanied every revival in history? It's prayer. And I want to light a fire under you. If you have the ability, if that time is available to you, come and join us on Wednesday nights. And as we continue to pray and seek the Lord for the moving of the Spirit, we want to see revival strike our area in a mighty way. We have our annual church business meeting. I walked up here, and here's all the details on it, and I didn't bring the date with me. Duh.
February 26th.
Thank you. February 26th. That will be a Sunday. And we'll have that meeting directly after the service. We're considering some food options so that you don't get hangry during the meeting. We don't want hangry people. but we certainly want to alert you to that. We'll be hearing about what God has done over the last year. And we'll be what God is doing in the future, and there will be opportunity service. And it just put me in mind as soon as I saw Maggie back there. We didn't pray for Kelly Susano. Do we have a report on her yet? As far as the last she texted me, she said she was hanging in there. This was yesterday. Okay, she's still hanging. Is she at home or is she in the hut? She's in Rochester at Strong. Okay. All right. Yes. Yeah, this little one inside of her was not supposed to make her entry into the world for another month and a half. So a little more time in the oven will do her well. It looked pretty serious. Kelly was supposed to direct a show choir for the All County concert this weekend. Why they would schedule a lady that's 8 months pregnant to do that, I don't know, but you know, they did, and of course she was probably wanting to participate in that, but she went into labor, and it was intense labor, and the doctors said, you're going to have this baby tonight. You are absolutely going to hurt. Your contractions were strong and 3 minutes apart, and all of a sudden, it stopped. Slowed way down. The next day she told me that she was just having some very mild contractions, but the doctors were shocked. They said, and Kelly and Armenio said, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. So, yeah, I got into the business meeting and I realized I had skipped over that. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for our sister Kelly. God, we pray your protection over her, that baby will not enter this world until it's supposed to, in Jesus' name. God, touch her body, touch that baby, protect them, Lord. We pray that you would protect them, and we pray that you would hold that labor at bay, God, and that you would just allow that little one to continue to prosper and flourish in her mother, Lord, until it's time for us to meet her. God, in Jesus' name, I pray for Kelly that you would put a comfort and a peace in her heart. Lord, it's not fun having to lay in the hospital. And Lord, I pray for the peace that passes understanding. God, that your peace would come, and she doesn't even have to understand it. Let it come and rest on her, Father, we pray. Be with both she and Armenia, Lord. Bless them. Bless them, bless them, in Jesus' name. All right, well, I knew that if I didn't hit that right then, I'd forget. So anyway, coming back to the annual church business meeting. There's a few things that we want you to know. If you look inside your bulletin today, there is an outline of positions that are available. We have two trustees positions that are up this year that we will need people to fill. And what's involved in those positions is pretty clearly spelled out. The most important thing is that you're willing to pray. The most important thing is that you're willing to pray. And if God puts it on your heart to serve in that fashion or in that way, we invite nominations. There is a table out in the foyer, and you'll be able to nominate someone. It says, if you feel you might be interested in serving the church in one of those roles, it is more than okay to come and speak with Pastor Dave about it. You may also nominate church members for positions in the foyer. It's really good if you don't just nominate them, if you go and talk to them first. It's better to talk to them first before you nominate them. Although we have had a few surprise nominations. And see if they're interested. If you headed up any of the church ministries in 2022, look in your email or whatever for a request from the office for a report. We'll need to put those reports together. They are due in 2 weeks. Don't make Shay come after you. I already know Shay will have to come after me. Shay had to come after me last year. But she's very nice about it. So, okay, there it is. And February 26th, pray about how God might use you in the church. And remember that nothing is impossible with him. So don't get the idea, well, oh, I could never do that. That's not, that's what Moses said. I can't do that. You know, at the end, Moses finally looked at God and said, the wrath of God was kindled. He said, oh God, please send someone else. God said, I'm sending you. So God might send you. To be considered for one of those positions, you do need to be a member of the church. But I do want to make note that voting privileges in that meeting are also limited to members, although anyone is welcome to come to the annual business meeting. But we will have a new members class. If you're not a member of the church and you would like to be, we'll have I'll be starting a new members class. The date to be announced, it kind of depends on who might be interested in becoming a new member. And so we're a little flexible with when that can meet. And if you're not sure about membership or, well, you know, is membership really scriptural? We spend the whole first session talking about that too. So you're invited to come. But please, if you're interested in membership, please come see me. And we like to get that scheduled, or call the office and let them know that you're interested. This week is Missions March Sunday. We get to support missions. Missions is awesome. And our church, you'll be excited when you see how much our church in the annual business meeting, how much gives to missions, how much missions support we have. It is a real blessing. So your offering is welcome for that today. All right. Brother Ray, would you help with the offering today? Ed, would you help with that, please? Thank you. I don't ask for volunteers. I just tell somebody. Thank you, Lord. Ed, would you like to pray?
Lord, we thank you for your presence with us today, your answers to prayers, Father, and Lord, that you are our sustainer, our keeper, our provider, and we just pray that you would bless these gifts and tithes and offerings, Father, as we return to you what's truly yours anyway. And we ask your wisdom in what we do as a church with these funds. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We have a treat for you today. I'm very excited to say I've known Curtis and Randy Corky since the late 70s. That might betray my age a little bit, but we knew them in college, and we've known them for all these years, and they have operated in ministry and in churches for a number of years, and Curtis is going to come and share the word with us this morning. Very excited for Curtis to get to share his teaching ministry with us today.
Oh, it's working. Good. All right. Amen. Adam, do you have that PowerPoint up? Good. There we go. Okay. It sounds funny to me, but it sounds normal out there? The sound? Okay, good. Amen. The net is laid in vain in the sight of any bird. I don't know if that passage rings a bell to any of you. It's from the book of Proverbs. I think it's chapter 1. There's a lot of things that we have to fight through in life. And sometimes the enemy of our soul, Satan, tries to set traps for us. How about all the time? Matter of fact, I was on the way here this morning, and there was a pickup truck in front of me that said, "Go Pats." So I knew there was going to be a battle this morning. Yeah, yeah. If a bird sees a snare, a trap, a net set for it, he just doesn't go there. If he sees that thing right there is designed to catch him and ensnare him, he just doesn't fly into it or walk into it. That's all that verse is saying. If the bird sees the net, he's not going to walk in it. I'm going to share with you this morning something that the enemy has almost certainly trapped all of us into from time to time. And I'm hoping that as I share this morning, that your ability to see that trap will get clearer so that you won't step into it ever again. That's my goal this morning. I will say ahead of time, I'm probably not going to teach you anything you don't already know. I feel that the body of Christ in general, and it 100% applies right here, we're more in need of, how would I say it? We don't need more knowledge. We need to be reminded of the things we already know. All right? And I do think that's very important. We don't need new revelations. And again, I'm going to be careful here. Hot dog, new revelations, great. New knowledge is great. But we don't need new knowledge as much as we need to be reminded of the things we already know. We don't need revelation as much as we need inspiration to walk in the things we already know. And I believe if that applies to us here. So no new knowledge this morning necessarily, but hopefully you'll be inspired to embrace with a little bit more focus things that you do already know. Let's see what's next. We're going to talk about unconditional forgiveness. And I know that might not sound like the most exciting topic. Bear with me. I'll say right out of the gate, I added the word unconditional. The scriptures don't talk about unconditional forgiveness. They talk about forgiveness. So I'm going to do my best this morning to differentiate between what the scriptures say versus my opinion that I'm layering on top. My opinion is that whenever the scriptures talk about forgiveness, it is referring to unconditional forgiveness. And I'm not going to be talking about God's unconditional forgiveness towards us, although that's the foundation. I want to talk about how God is calling us to unconditionally forgive the people around us. You good with that? Whoops, did I go too far? Okay, so we're going to talk about the command, God's command to forgive, not an option. God doesn't suggest, hey, if you can, forgive these people that have done mean things to you. If you can. If you can't, no sweat. He doesn't take it that way. It's a command. It's a command. We're going to talk about the bad fruit of forgiveness, and I'm going to try to hit those first two things sort of quickly. Then I want to talk about the good fruit of unconditional forgiveness, who to forgive, and some thoughts about how to do it. That's the plan. That's the plan. So, the command. I'm going to read these verses. I'm not going to comment a lot on them. They're all pretty self-explanatory. Matthew 18:21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Then Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. It's a lot. It's a lot. The next one I think is Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate one to another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So what's the standard for your willingness to forgive others? That's the standard. Just as much as God has forgiven you of everything, He wants you to forgive the people around you for what? Everything. I know this sounds hard. At the end, we're going to get to how to do this and stuff. I'm going to help a little bit, I hope. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. This is not it's not written as a command here, but it's a pretty good suggestion. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. I got to stop here just for a second. I'm making no claim this morning to presenting a comprehensive theological statement about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a topic that you could spend hours and hours on. I tried to distill this down to the things that I felt God was saying were relevant for us this morning. Talking about God's forgiveness to us, what happens when we don't forgive the people around us, all those things are really worth some discussion, but that's not going to be what we're talking about this morning, all right? I just think it's important to know that if you sit there and you hear this and you're saying, but what about this? But what about that? There are things that we can talk about, but it was impossible to make it totally 100% comprehensive in a fairly short time on a Sunday morning. So, but if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. Luke 6:37, forgive and you shall be forgiven. So if nothing else, some motivation to honor God with a heart of forgiveness. You forgive, God will forgive you. And we also see it twice in the Lord's Prayer. I don't know if any of you ever get a little jolt when you read the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. He's putting a little responsibility on us here. And that's okay. That's okay. Luke 11:4. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. I also forgive everyone who sins against me. That's something that should be included in your fairly regularly scheduled time with God. Just that you say that. Because you may not have forgiven everybody who's ever sinned against you. Start the process. Let it be something. It's just important to speak that as it is any other thing about from the Scriptures. God will work. There's a verse in Philippians where it says, for it's God who works in you both to will and to do of your good pleasure. And we think so often about how the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to do God's good pleasure, but He also wants to work in us so that we will of His good pleasure, that our internal wiring lines up more and more with God's as the weeks and months and years go by. I forgive everyone who has sinned against me. And if you say that, and a little voice inside says, yeah, but what about blah, blah, blah? Well, that's, go ahead and forgive him. And like I said, we'll talk about that in a minute. Okay, the bad fruit. Oh, I missed, skipped that one. If you don't forgive others, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive you. This is where I have to emphasize the fact that this is not a comprehensive. That would be a fun thing to talk about sometime and how that applies in all of our lives. All I put it up there for is I wanted you to know that that verse was in there. It's relevant and it's important. Okay. This one's really yucky. Bear with me here. This one's really hard. But it's too important. I couldn't leave it out. I took it out, put it back. Took it out, put it back. It had to stay. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. Ouch, here's the hard part. So my Heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you, from his heart, does not forgive his brother his trespasses. I want to overly simplify this verse. All I want you to see this morning, and this is so important, is that unforgiveness leads to pain. There's no good thing that'll ever come out of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness leads to pain. And that's why I felt I had to leave that verse in there. God has no desire to torture you. In the King James Bible, it says, delivered unto the tormentors. God has no desire to torment you. God loves you. He's on your side. If forgiving is hard and God said to do it, that's where we say, thank you, Lord, for your help. Because he'll help you. He'll help you. He does not want you to be delivered unto the tormentors. Forgiveness doesn't get a lot of discussion outside of what I would call like counseling circles. If you ever go to a Christian counselor, I can guarantee you that in your first two sessions, whether he asks it directly or whether he sneaks it in so he doesn't know he's asking, they're probing. They're trying to find those points of unforgiveness. Because well-trained Christian counselors know that 90%, and that's not a clinically proven statistic, the 90%. It's a large number of people who are wrestling with life, unforgiveness, more often than not, is part of the cause of why there's so much pain and discomfort. Okay, Unforgiveness leads to pain. Okay, here's some of the good fruit of unconditional forgiveness. There's a lot of good fruit, by the way. As I said before, I tried to distill this down to some of the real key ones. Unforgiveness takes away, and I know I'm not at that verse yet, don't look at it yet. Unforgiveness takes away Satan's advantage over us. There's nobody in this room who wants Satan to have any advantage over you. I said that wrong. Forgiveness takes away Satan's advantage over us. Unforgiveness gives the enemy of your soul an advantage over you. And that's a bad spot to be. You don't want to be in a situation. You don't want to be in a life set of circumstances where the enemy has an advantage over you. So if there's an area where he does, you want to get rid of it. Unforgiveness, I'll read the verse in a second. The other thing is it opens the door to live by faith. I know that faith churches, some people use phrases like, name it, claim it, I'm believing for God for everything, for my healing, to a Cadillac, to a mansion on Cuca Lake. And I'm not believing for those things. I'm just using them as examples. We're going to see in a minute, though, that forgiveness is so important if you want to live a life by faith. And I think everybody in here, whether you answer the question yes or no when I say it, would you like to live a life by faith? Your answer ultimately would be yes, that's what I want. I want to just live by faith, and forgiveness is a big part of that. Okay, I also want to point out that forgiveness is not just something ultimately that you put your nose to the grindstone and you do it because you have to. It's an opportunity. Forgiveness is an opportunity for you to open the door for all sorts of good things in your life. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10 and 11. Anyone you forgive, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthian church, anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us. For we are not unaware of his schemes. When you walk in unforgiveness, when you won't let go of whatever that was, the enemy has an opportunity to outwit you. The King James says, have an advantage over you. That's how important forgiveness is. Not forgiving gives the enemy an advantage. John 14:30, Jesus said, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me. When you don't forgive, you're giving the enemy a handle, a hold in your life, and you don't want him to have any handles in your life. Unconditional forgiveness points us towards that place where we can say that Satan has no hold on me. Wouldn't you like to be able to say that? Like Jesus said, Satan has no hold on me. By the way, a little sidebar here, but I think it's important. There are a handful of concepts. That's not the right word. There are a handful of things in the life of the church that have the ability to change the spiritual environment around you. Communion is one of them. When you partake of communion properly, there's a lot of really good things that take place in the spiritual realm around you. When you partake of it improperly, according to the book of Corinthians, it can get really bad, and it says some even die because they don't do it properly. Water baptism. By the way, I'm in the opinion mode now. So I think that's what happens when we partake of communion on Sunday mornings. There is a rearranging of the spiritual environment around you. Water baptism, I believe, has a big effect on the spiritual environment where you're going to be walking into. Repentance is another one. When you repent of your sins, it's like the air gets cleared and the path for life is easier and more focused and less problematic. And forgiveness is one of these as well. When you forgive from your heart, the spiritual environment around you changes. And it's a change for the better. It's a change for the better. Okay. This is the most famous verse in all the faith churches. And for what it's worth, I think the faith churches interpret this verse properly. You know, I think a lot of modern evangelical Christians try to explain these verses away. They're true. God said it. God doesn't have a communication disorder. If he said it, he meant it. This is, I call it the famous believe and say passage. For assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So important. Your words are so important. Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. That is 100% true. That is as true as God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That verse right there is every bit as true as John 3:16. I think that verse is worth a lot of study and thought, but it's the next verse, though, that always gets left out. The very next verse. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against who? Anyone. That's a big standard God's trying to lay out right here. Mark 11:23 and 24 is pretty big and powerful too. So this goes along with it. If you have anything against anyone, forgive them. That your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Forgiveness. If you want to live a life of great faith, you have to live a life of great forgiveness. You cannot separate one from the other. You say you're a person of faith and you pray and you're anointed, you want to prophesy and blah, 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 but you're wrestling with unforgiveness, forget it. God, out of his grace, will let you taste a measure of success and see a little measure of fruitfulness, but your unforgiveness is going to get in the way of that life of faith that you say you want to live. It's that important. It's that important. All right. Anyone who wants to walk in great faith needs to walk in great forgiveness. Galatians 6:5. Faith works by love. That's how faith works. If you ever want to say, hey, can I believe God for this? Is this something that by faith I can go to God with? Well, if it's consistent with love, it could be. It could be. If it's not, you know the answer is no. Love is so important. I have a little piece of paper on my desk. It's been there for months. It says two things. It says, in big 72 type, unconditional forgiveness. And then under it, it says unconditional love. Now, that's just me. That's something God has been speaking to me about for months. I want to see as much of God's hand, not only in my life, but in your lives and in my community and in our state. Faith works by love. Never lose sight of that. Fact. Faith works by love. Can you believe God for a mansion on Cuca Lake? I don't know. Bible doesn't say yes or no. You know? So there's a lot of things that are not unbiblical, but extra biblical. You can believe God for a rental on Cuca Lake. No, it says that must be in the Bible someplace, but faith works by love. All right. The net is laid in vain in the sight of any bird. I just wanted to go back and start with that verse because I hope that before we're done this morning, you'll be better at recognizing the trap of unforgiveness when it rears its ugly head up. And you'll recognize it and you'll say, oh, no, 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 no. Satan, get thee behind me. Flesh, shut up. Tell your flesh to shut up. You're not submitting your life to your flesh. You're submitting your life to God. So when your flesh says, oh, I can't forgive him for that, well, guess what? You're just beating yourself up. It's been said so much, I'm almost embarrassed to say it, but unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. I'm not going to forgive them. They did that to me. I'll never forgive them. You're just digging your own grave. You're getting in the way of everything God wants to do in your life. I am not saying that God won't do things in your life at that point. I'm just saying that unforgiveness gets in the way. It's that intense. Unforgiveness is that pernicious, horrible. Okay. Did I get a little wound up there? Okay. Bear with me a second. So there's two things to know in advance when you make up your mind that you're going to forgive everyone that has sinned against you. The enemy will resist your efforts. Don't think it'll be easy, right? We always say in the realm of the natural, if you want to be a great athlete, athlete, we all recognize in the natural that the path to greatness is not easy. It's hard, right? If you want to be financially successful, you have to make some decisions that are for the long term, not just for this week. And for a lot of people, that's really hard. You want to be healthy? Guess what? Stop eating Twinkies. That's hard, right? Oh, the younger generation might not know what Twinkies are. If you want to be healthy, stop eating cupcakes. You know, some of these things are hard. Forgiveness is hard, but it's worth the effort. Now, opinion. Now, just from my own experience. Sometimes I've found forgiveness to be easy. And I have no idea why these two phenomena coexist in here right next to each other. But sometimes forgiveness is easy. And then other times it's harder. And I don't know what causes the difference. As a younger man, I used to think the closer the person was to me, the harder it was to forgive. I found as the decades have gone by, that's not the case. So I don't know why. But when it's easy, thank God that it was easy. But don't not do it just in those situations where it's hard. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. All right. And forgiveness might feel, this is important, forgiveness might feel foolish. Why would I forgive them? What possible gain can come out of forgiving them? That's why sometimes it seems foolish, but it's never foolish. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Forgiveness is a very powerful phenomena in the realm of the Spirit. Forgiveness is a spiritual phenomenon. Let's make sure we're all aware of that. We're not talking about just some intellectual exercise. Forgiveness is a spiritual phenomena. It's very important in the life of the believer. From a natural perspective, it will often feel wrong, or it might feel unnecessary, but it's not wrong, right? Everybody in this room has wrestled with it. You don't feel like forgiving somebody. I don't feel like forgiving them. You might not speak those words, but that's what's keeping you from doing it. You just feel you don't want to do it. Got to do it anyway. All right. I'm sorry, there was one other thing. Oh, the enemy will resist your efforts to forgive you. We got that. We got that. I'm good. We've covered that well enough. When the enemy does resist your efforts to forgive, he usually does it with reasons and lies. Reasons and lies. He'll come up with all these reasons why you shouldn't forgive that other person. He'll tell you lies, maybe about you, maybe about them, maybe about disconnected third parties, and he'll use those lies to persuade. This is where you got to put on your big boy pants, so to speak, and know, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable will of God. You've got to, the battle is going to take place up here sometimes. And when it does, that's where you've got to be a mature person and know what the Bible says. If it conflicts with your feelings, only one of them is true. And it's not your feelings. It's what the Word of God says. Okay. All right. How do you forgive somebody? It starts by saying it. I'm not sure biblically there's any other way to start the process. It starts by saying it. Mark 11, 23, 24. You've got to speak that mountain of unforgiveness out of your life. You've got to start by speaking it. And what do you speak? I forgive Billy. You might shake when you say it because your anger and your ill feelings towards Billy, fictitious person, obviously, those feelings are so strong that just saying the words, I forgive Billy, it can make you shake on the inside. That's all right. That's the start of a good process. It doesn't, thank God it's not going to end there. That's the start of the process. I really like physics. And I'm not very good at physics, but I really like physics to the point that I still listen to physics classes and read physics things. And the first or the second law of thermodynamics is the law of inertia. And to boil that down to something super simple, which had the way it had to be done for me, it's harder to get something moving than it is to keep it moving. It's harder to get something moving than it is to keep it moving. If you're running, the first 5 steps are the hardest steps. After that, you can cruise. When you say, "I forgive Billy," you're starting the hardest part of the whole process. Once you start the process, even if you shudder on the inside to even say it, you can know that it's going to get smoother. I don't want to use the word easier. It's going to get smoother. But starting the process is the single hardest piece of the whole thing. So you have to say it. Say unto this mountain, "Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea." Forgiveness begins with saying, "I forgive Billy." Use your words to start breaking down that mountain of unforgiveness. Now what I do, and by the way, there's a little opinion, the Bible doesn't specifically have a verse that says, in order to forgive, start by saying. So I'm just trying to share what I, as God's put it on my heart to share this morning, start by saying it. And what I do personally, I have to fill in the second blank line. I forgive Billy for, and I have to verbalize what it is that he did for me. Some counselors say that everybody has to do it that way. I don't know if that's true or not. The Bible doesn't say one way or the other, but I didn't want to end this morning without letting you guys know, at least from my perspective, there's 2 blanks to be filled in. I forgive Billy because he didn't. If you can start speaking those things, something will change on the inside. Your words, at that point in time, God is going to use them to empower good change on the inside. All right. The other thing you have to do in order to forgive them, in order to work through this process, is you have to sermon on the mount them. Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. There's some ouchies in this verse, but try to hear them in the context of forgiveness. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Have you ever said, "God, what are you, nuts?" He's not nuts. He knows what he's doing. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. It seems to be getting harder and harder with every phrase. And pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you. I'm going to tell you this. If you will take that person with whom you've been wrestling to forgive and start praying for them, even if you just do that one thing out of the 4, good stuff will go on here. Father, I forgive Billy because he... What's a good... You hate to pick an example because you get afraid that somebody that you're talking to has just went through that. And you're, so I'm honestly saying I'm not picking on anybody here. But okay, I forgive Billy for being so rude to my wife the other day. For what even... That just really bugged me. So now I go to God. I say, "God, I forgive him." I say what he did. And I pray, "God, I pray you'd bless Billy. God, maybe there's something going on in Billy's heart that caused him to react with such rudeness and anger. I pray for Billy. I pray you'd bless him. I pray you'd open the eyes of his heart to the things you want to do." In other words, pray for those people that you're having a hard time forgiving, pray for them. But all 4 of those things, love them. Faith works by love. Faith works by love. Love them. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them who despitefully use you. Ouch. And you know what else sort of hurts? This is a little more opinion on my part. They may never know you're doing that. It's all right. It's not about them. This is about you. It's about me. You know? Boy, if Billy only knew I was praying for him. You're missing the point then. You're missing the point. If God wants Billy to know, Billy will find out. Believe me. Don't even worry about whether or not. You just do it. Just do it. Between you and God, in your prayer closet, don't let your right hand know what your left hand say. Just do it. So they may never know what you're doing. It's okay because it's about you. It's about what is going on in your heart. Okay. I wanted to just talk briefly about who you should forgive. And I'm watching the clock here, and I don't know. I had it in my original notes, and I probably don't need it. I found it. I'm just going to read off a few categories. It's not complete, not comprehensive, but as I tried to, with God, distill it down to what was relevant for us this morning, I'm going to suggest some people that you consider forgiving. And you know what? It could very well be that you're sitting here right now and you already are now aware of those two or three or four people that you know just rub you the wrong way. But if you don't, just in case, you've got to forgive your spouse. You've got to walk in unconditional forgiveness towards your life partner. The enemy has a real, because marriage, according to the book of Ephesians, because marriage is one of the few human relationships that God ordained as a reflection of the relationship between him and his people, the enemy attacks marriages. He's attacked ours. I don't know many of you here, but I know he's attacked your marriage. You've all been through it if you're married. Make sure that you are going to God honestly about anything, any unforgiveness you might be holding in your heart towards your spouse. Deal with it. Deal with it. That one's got to be today. That's got to be today. Kids. Sometimes it's easy to forgive kids. You know what? The people from the Jesus movement, which would be like Dave and I, a lot of the people here who got saved in the 60s and 70s and early 80s, we've raised up kids, not all of whom are walking with the Lord the way we'd like them to, but we've got to make sure that we're not letting that become a source of unforgiveness and bitterness in our hearts. Just pray for them. Pray for them. Make sure that you're not holding unforgiveness towards your kids. We pray that God would save them, and yet we wrestle with all this unforgiveness towards them. Let it go. Let it go. Past church friends. Past church leaders. Think about this. You don't have to agree with everything the previous leaders you've been involved with did. You don't have to agree with them, but you do have to forgive them. And only you know in your heart whether you're just intellectually disagreeing or if you're really wrestling with unforgiveness down in here. That's the part you got to give to the Lord. That's where you've got to forgive. Current church leaders, kids, business associates, everyone. I mean, the verses we read said everyone. I just felt a little bit inspired to mention these few categories. But you have to forgive everyone. I used to wrestle with, and this is something that I've, well, two disclosures here. I am not sharing this message as a person who's mastered it. I'm sharing this message as somebody who's trying to grow in this as the weeks and months and years go by. I've wrestled over time with having to forgive people that I thought were far enough away from me emotionally that it didn't really matter, like a business associate. I've been in the field of work that I'm in. I've been in it for 25 years. And over those 25 years, there have been some business associates that did some really wrong things that hurt me. Some of them had to do with money. Some of them had to do with other employee relationships. And it was about 5 or 6 years ago. See, I didn't want to go to God and forgive them because I didn't want to admit that they were close enough to hurt me, right? I mean, I know if my wife hurts me or my kids or somebody that's a close friend, that's one thing. But it was hard for me to admit that some of these people further out in my emotional circle had enough influence on my life to hurt me. I don't know why. I just didn't want to recognize that. I wanted to prove I'm a strong Christian. Oh, that didn't bother me. But it did bother me, and it took me a long time to come to grips with it. So I actually have to, and this stuff crops up again every now and then, I have to go and forgive people on that outer circle just as much as I have to walk in forgiveness towards the people that I interact with daily and weekly. So the circle can be pretty big, you know. You might think of people you have to forgive from 40, 50 years ago. But just let God steer the ship. Just let God steer the ship. Whoever you need to forgive, you know, and when you remember, just do it. Yeah. Whatever he says to you, do it, right? Mary said to Jesus. Okay. How to do it. I already talked about the net is laid in vain in the sight of any bird. I don't know if... Was that my last one? Yeah, that's all right. The enemy will resist your efforts to forgive. Forgiving might feel foolish, unnecessary. Say it. And then Sermon on the Mount then. I say Sermon on the Mount then. That passage is from the Sermon on the Mount. Love those that, you know, love your enemies, do good to them. If you'll say it, if you'll pray for them, things will go better. All right. Three brief closing thoughts. Okay, seven. No. Forgiveness is not a moment. You've got to know what I'm about to say. Forgiveness is not a moment. It's a process. It's a season. If somebody has hurt you, yeah, forgive them. Say, I forgive them for what they did. Pray for them. But just because you do those two things doesn't mean the yucky feelings of unforgiveness are going to go away right away. There's people in my life that I've had to go over the process of forgiveness with for months. Months. And then finally I've got the victory. A year later, it happens again. I don't know why this is. The Bible doesn't say why this is. But don't get discouraged because the feelings didn't line up with what you did instantly. They will line up eventually. That's all the Bible does say. They will line up eventually, but they might not line up instantly because forgiveness is not a moment. It's a process. Hopefully a short process, but we don't know. We don't know. There could be people that you consistently forgive from today until the day you go to your grave. That's all right. You're doing the right thing. God will honor that. God will honor that. So it's not a moment. It's a process. It often leads to a change in the way you feel. This is really important. It often leads to a change in the way you feel, but it can't begin there. You can't wait until you feel like forgiving. Because guess when that'll happen? Never. You won't feel like forgiving. If you're waiting until you feel like forgiving, you're missing the whole point. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, if you read through that, there's nothing in that chapter, nothing that has anything to do with feelings. It's about agape love that is a commitment we make born out of our relationship with Jesus. There's no feelings in that in 1 Corinthians 13. The idea of forgiveness doesn't necessarily have any feelings attached to it either. You just do it because we saw all the verses. God said do it, so we do it. And if you don't do it, it's going to be painful. Not going to be painful for them. It's going to be painful for you. So just do it, whether you feel like it or not. Two more things. It's not letting the other person off the hook. Sometimes we don't forgive because we want to see the other person get punished. We want to see the other person experience some of the pain that they inflicted on us. No, I'm not going to forgive them. I want to see them suffer. I've heard people say that. Maybe some of you have said that. You're not, by forgiving them, you're not letting them off the hook. Matter of fact, you're releasing them to be on God's hook. You're getting out of the way so that God can do in their life what he... And if God wants to make them suffer and experience pain, he might. But what if the worst possible thing happens? What if all God ever does is bless that person? And you hated them so much. Ouch, God, that stinks. These are some of the feelings that we'll go through during this forgiveness process. You're not letting them off the hook. The best thing you could do is put them into God's hands. Guess what? God can take care of stuff. So you're not letting them off the hook. And when you forgive somebody, it doesn't mean that you have to trust them. It doesn't mean you have to open up all of your life to them again. I've got people that I know that I know that I know I've forgiven. I am totally free when I see them. Hear about people that, you know, the hair on the back of my neck just went up when I saw them years ago. And none of that happens anymore. But it doesn't mean that I trust them. It just means I've forgiven them. If they come to me, I'll just use the business partners. If they come to me and they want to do it again, I'm going to say, no. You know, I don't trust you. I've forgiven you, but I don't trust you. You're releasing them, though, into God's care when you forgive. Last thing, and maybe this is the biggest, I'm not sure. It's releasing them and you into God's care. When you're struggling with unforgiveness, when you're refusing to forgive, you are smack dab in the way of what God's trying to do in your life. Thank God that he's gracious and he does good things in our lives anyway. Otherwise, we'd all be in a bad spot. But unforgiveness frees you up to be in God's care. Amen. That's it. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would strengthen us all with might by your Spirit in the inner man, that we would find ourselves willing and able to forgive anyone who's ever sinned against us, anyone who's ever hurt us. And I know that some of the pains we've experienced in the past are almost unimaginable, and they are almost what the world would call unforgivable. But God, I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, that you would give us the grace to forgive anyone who's ever sinned against us. I pray that in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thanks for listening.
When we were praying before the service today, as I prayed for Curtis, I saw in the spirit the unforgiveness as a spiritual cancer. And I saw God want to carve it right out. Not damage the healthy flesh around, but cut that unforgiveness out, because unforgiveness is a spiritual cancer. But forgiveness is the key that unlocks the prison that we put ourselves in when we don't forgive. So, Lord Jesus, I pray that as we leave today, that you would remind us of those that we need to forgive. Father, help us as we forgive them, and then tomorrow we have to forgive them again, and maybe the next day, and then we remember again, and we remember again. Help us to walk through that walk of forgiveness. Cut that spiritual cancer out of us, Lord, that we can be free of that and walk with hearts that are not bound up toward other people. Thank you for the release that we get. Thank you for the release and the freedom that comes when we forgive. Father, help us. In Jesus' name. We've also found in deliverance ministry, people don't get set free from demonic bondage until they're ready to really forgive and release things. And then it's like, wham! Because the scripture that Curtis brought up, people get delivered over to the tormentors. But God is able to deliver. If you're here today and you want prayer, we invite you to come. We're believing God to continue to move in greater measure and bring manifest gifts of His Spirit, heal people's bodies, deliver them. So if you're here today and you have a need for prayer, we don't leave before you have a chance to do that. And if you need just a couple of minutes to pray over what's been shared today, take that time. The Holy Spirit's speaking right now. So take that time and do business with God right where you are. And He'll be faithful to help you and meet you right where you are. If you'd like prayer, feel free to come. If not, God bless you. Have a great, great week.